This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is Eli Manning, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Eli, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, March 7th, 2023. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. And it's getting closer to reality, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting close. The Jets contingent, including Woody Johnson, are on Johnson's private plane to California to meet personally with Aaron Rodgers after being granted permission by the Green Bay Packers. Now, that would lead you to believe that the part of the deal where the Jets would have to come to an agreement with the Packers looks like it could be locked up. Now, what do they want from Rodgers? Do they want a commitment of 2 or 3 years? Do they want to see where his head's at? Why would Rodgers even talk to them if, in fact, he was, you know, wanted to retire?
Right.
A lot of questions out there, but I would say that the needle moves more toward it seems real that he could become a Jet, Don.
Well, this is phenomenal news. Any way you kind of slice it, even if you're the most pessimistic Jet fan, all right? As far as retirement's concerned, well, why would he be talking to the Jets if he was going to retire? He would just retire. So it doesn't sound like he's going to retire. And it doesn't sound like he's going back to the Packers, because the Packers obviously had to give permission to the Jets to speak to him because he's still under contract with the Packers, which leads you to believe the Packers would be more than willing to make a deal with the Jets. I guess the only thing that could fall through here would be the negotiation part of it. If the Jets couldn't get something done with the Packers, if the Raiders all of a sudden came in and offered something differently. I mean, that really is the only thing that get in the way of this. As far as retirement, that looks like it's off the table. And as far as him going back to the Packers, that looks like it's off the table. So two negative layers were removed once we found out that the Jets were on their way to California to speak to him.
It's funny, though, because let's say he's decided to play and doesn't want to leave the Packers, but the Packers want him to go because it's time for the Jordan Love era to begin. Then what do they do? What do they do if he doesn't want to go to the Jets? He has a no-move clause, so he doesn't have to be traded. So if he says, I'm playing for the Packers and that's it, and if you guys don't want me, then release me and pay me the money you owe me, because the final 2 years of his contract, fully guaranteed. So it would behoove the Packers to move him to the Jets. Now, it would be a hit against their cap, yes, but they wouldn't have to pay the money. The Jets would pay the $59 million. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting if it becomes a big game of chicken, but I really believe that if, in fact, they are on their way, and several people are reporting it, our very own Dan Graziano and Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for ESPN in Green Bay, they're saying that plane is on its way to California.
Wow.
They supposedly had initial discussions with Rodgers. So since they had initial discussions and now they got on a plane, my advice to them was don't get on the plane without Aaron Rodgers coming back, or at least his signature. So this is fascinating right now. The Jets rolled the dice. I mean, there had to be something that they knew about Rodgers coming to them, or being willing to come to them, that they let Derek Carr sign with New Orleans without any battle whatsoever. So fascinating news. Fascinating. It really is that Aaron Rodgers could end up being a Jet.
It's real.
And it starts to become, now if it doesn't happen, it's actually a disappointment. Legitimate. Like, it can no longer feel like a total, like, oh, no chance, we're the Jets, we're not getting him. Seeing as they already let go of Carr, and now you know about this second conversation, yeah, how do you not have your hopes up that this is the future of your football team?
It's amazing. It really is amazing. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. You know, it's a 24-hour news cycle. People have to have hot takes. People have to give opinions on things. And we're giving opinions on things, and we really don't know the end game. So you can criticize the Jets for letting Derek Carr go, but do you criticize them for letting Derek Carr go if, in fact, they do score Aaron Rodgers? I think the only way they get criticized, if they don't come back with Rodgers, they lost out on Carr, and then they have to go to plan C, which is probably Jimmy Garoppolo, or making a run at Lamar Jackson, which I don't think they were going to do. And another name that's always mentioned is Ryan Tannehill. There's no guarantee that Tennessee's going to let him go. I mean, he's not a free agent.
So imagine the one guy you don't want might not even be an option. That might not even be the chair when the music ends. Guys, this was the opportunity that they saw. When you had made the prediction, Michael, or you at least had the thought that they have had some intel. And the intel must have been the Packers don't want him. They're willing to deal with the Jets, and that he's not retiring. So now it just comes down to, can they woo him? Or is he fixated on another team? That's the only thing that can kind of be the trap door here, is that, I like what you offer. I don't want to play on the East Coast, or I like your team, but I'd rather play someplace else. That's it. And I guess the Raiders would be the only team if the Packers are going to hold firm to only trading him in the AFC. So I would think the Raiders are the only competition here. I've heard no report that he's meeting with anybody else, that he's meeting with the Raiders or anything. So at least give the Jets credit. They're getting the first crack at getting a chance to talk to him and convince him to come to the Jets.
All right, we're in the middle of the NFL update brought to you by Jackpocket. So that's the big part of the story right now. A Jet is flying out to California to meet with Rodgers. Hopefully it's in a well-lit room. We'll see. And the other story is the Giants and Daniel Jones continue to negotiate. As we reported yesterday, seems like it's creeping closer, but nothing is done. So 4 o'clock is the deadline to franchise tag somebody. So we will know by 4 o'clock exactly if Saquon Barkley's coming back, what the situation is with Daniel Jones. I still think it behooves everybody to get this done, get a long-term contract, and he'll get as much as he can get. He'll get some guaranteed money. Maybe the Giants give him more guaranteed money than they wanted to. The last couple of reports that we've heard in the last hour or so is that the Giants have reached a point where they're going, okay, that's it. That's all we have. Let's see if he plays real hardball and said, no, I want more. And then the Giants have to give him the $32.5 million franchise tag, and they essentially then will lose Saquon Barkley.
And we should mention that the Ravens have officially given the non-exclusive tag to Lamar Jackson. So he can be had for 2 first-round picks. That's official. An hour before the deadline, that's what the Ravens have done with Jackson, just as an option out there that's official. Michael, I still think the tag is bad news for both sides. I still think it's worse for Jones, because now Jones has got to go into a season without his best weapon. The Giants hamstrung to get him more weapons because of the franchise tag. And he can go out there and, God forbid, get hurt and ruin his chance at a huge payday for what would end up being a haircut from what the Giants had originally offered him for this year. It's too big of a chance for him. So it's bad for the Giants for all the same reasons, except they can, they'll figure out a way to get over it. But for Jones, it could cost him, hundreds of millions of dollars if, God forbid, he got hurt.
And his running
back. And his best weapon, because, right, Peter, talking all through the year, it was like 1-1A, who was the most important player for the Giants? Was it Jones? Was it Saquon? As far as on the field, the coaching staff got their due, and the defense certainly got their due. But one was just as important as the other, and they needed each other. And for Jones to go into a year where he's going to, like, literally bet on himself on the franchise tag, do you want to see Saquon Barkley go out the door?
That's a brutal. That would be brutal for Jones. And also, not only does it make it less likely that they're able to figure this thing that. Same thing that happened to me. Not only is it worrisome for Daniel Jones in terms of his ability to play well, but I said this last week, it's worrisome in terms of his ability to see the big picture. You know, I just feel like for him to really get bogged down in getting that money and not think about how much he'll lose if they're not able to keep the pieces in place for him that work. Guys, we have no idea whether he has the capability to bet on himself and do it, particularly without Saquon Barkley.
Now, here's Mike Tannenbaum. He was on with DiPietro and Rothenberg today, and he talked about what would happen if Daniel Jones gets that franchise tag.
Yeah, they could lose him. That's a big risk. I know the word running back right now doesn't get, sort of like the stature in the market, but I think Saquon's a special player, a special person. I think he's dynamic out of the backfield. And I would think, given some of the cap space some of these teams have, like If I'm, for example, the Chicago Bears, I may have a couple of good running backs, but gosh, if I'm going to try to develop Justin Fields, what's the best way? You have a guy like Saquon Barkley in the backfield with him. Just some of those long handoffs would give him a lot of confidence. So I would think Saquon Barkley would have a pretty robust market.
Yeah.
Well, and he has to know he has it. I mean, that's the job of his agent, right? So I know Monday is the legal tampering part, but that's what they do in Indianapolis at St. Elmo's. That's what they do. They talk, what would you, you know, be willing to give them? And there's no way that they could get nailed for it. So there must be some team out there that's willing to give them much more than $12.5 million a year. Because I think the Giants, probably their end point would be $13 million for Barkley. So if, in fact, they have to use the franchise tag on Daniel Jones, well, that's going to benefit Barkley because he's going to get more money somewhere else. It's not going to be with the Giants. And then if they do come to a deal, then Barkley is the one who really gets hammered because he gets $10.1 million. He's going to get franchised. That's all there is to it. I think the Giants would prefer to franchise him.
Oh, without
question. With a running back, it makes sense.
You know, when you look at, because I don't know if they know if there's a team, a specific team that would give Barkley his money, but when you see Josh Jacobs get franchised in Vegas, when you see Pollard get franchised in Dallas, these are running backs that come off the free agent market. So Barkley might be the last one standing, and if you feel like you really need a running back and you've got cap space, as much as it might pain you to do it, you'll say, all right, I will give him 16. I've got no other option, and I've got the cap space, so I'll give him what he's looking for. So I think that's what they're banking on, Michael, because all the really good running back free agents were gobbled up with the franchise tag.
Now, let's listen to Damian Wood. He was on Get Up, and the thing that most people in football can't wrap their mind around is that Daniel Jones might get $40 million a year. Here's Damian.
Really? Daniel Jones is about to get like 40-something million dollars.
Yes.
Just the fact that Daniel Jones, after last year when the Giants weren't even willing to exercise the fifth-year option, coming back the next year could possibly be getting 40-something million dollars a year. It's just mind-boggling. It's crazy.
And Dan Orlovsky feels the same way.
There's no shot I'm paying Daniel Jones $40-plus million. He totally changed the narrative around the player that he was. $40-plus million, and the main reason is he didn't throw a bunch of interceptions? 7 months ago, the conversation was, man, can they franchise tag him maybe? Like, could they maybe? Could he play well enough to earn a franchise tag to say, hey, you didn't turn the ball over a bunch?
Wow.
It's out there, man, but, you know, one thing
can,
I would
can these guys make up their minds, though? I mean, I
would disagree with both of them on one thing. You are worth what you get in an open market and when you are free. It's all about timing. It's all about timing. And yeah, he's a free agent now where money is skyrocketing. The league is flush in money, and the Giants have to decide, do we want to give this guy all this money, or do we want to go searching for a quarterback?
I know, Michael, but sometimes – this just seems way out of the ordinary as far as the stats are concerned. And I will say this, and I don't know if this factors into an athlete's head. You may know more than me, having dealt with a lot of Yankees over 30 years of covering them. But he is putting an inordinate amount of pressure on himself next year. If he ends up getting this $40-plus million contract, Michael, he cannot possibly fail. He will be an absolute pariah. All the fans love him now and are willing to give it to him. It sounds like for the people that call us, I think they've exaggerated his worth because he won a playoff game on the road. But, Michael, if he ends up getting the money that he wants, just for sake of argument, he gets north of $40 million a year and the Giants go 6-11 and he's awful, he'll never hear the end of it. He will get absolutely eviscerated. He will become an absolute pariah in New York, especially if that hamstrings them from being able to go out and get players to help him get better. I mean, does that factor into his mind at all? The amount of pressure he's going to have to make the playoffs. He's going to have to go deeper into the playoffs. Anything else will be looked as an absolute failure.
He wouldn't get that pressure if he signed a $38 million deal the Giants want him to take. I don't think it matters to him at all because athletes don't think they're going to fail.
But the point is, Michael, if it's a fairer deal and it allows them to go out and get him weapons, yeah, there's always going to be pressure to be the quarterback in New York, and there's always going to be expectations. But for him to get more than he's worth, it puts even more pressure where there's going to be all of the blame is going to be on him if they keep missing out on free agents, they lose Saquon Barkley. he goes out there and has a miserable season. He can't use the excuse, or the apologist can't use the excuse of, well, he's got no weapons. Well, you're the reason they have no weapons.
Well, also, you know, the law firm of Shane and Dable will have to take the hit, too, because Brian Dable is the quarterback genius, right? The quarterback whisperer. He is signing off on giving him this kind of money. So this will be on them, too, just like Zach Wilson is on Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, and it's going to be hard for them to get out from under that. That's why they have to give a guy, Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years old, $60 million. That's it. So they have to own it, and the Giants will have to own it, too. They see something. Dable is a quarterback genius, and he sees enough in this guy to give him upwards of $40 million a year. Because Joe Shane's not giving it to him without being co-signed by Brian Dable. So they're all on the hot seat.
Well, they're all on the hot seat, but you know how it works, Michael. He's the one that's going to be out there. He's going to be exposed to the fans. And if he ends up, like, it'll even be worse if he gets the franchise tag, because then Saquon Barkley is gone, and everybody's going to be, all right, show me. Show me. Go out there and throw 30 touchdown passes. Show me you're worth that. And if he's not, that's a ton of pressure that's going to be applied on him. If the rumors are true, 190 over 5, $38 million. To me, it's a tad excessive, but a lot more fair, and I think the fans can wrap their mind around that, freeze up the franchise tag for Saquon, freeze up for them to be able to backload the contract. You see what the cap hit for Carr is going to be next year? $7.7 million. Mm-hmm. So getting a deal done is really going to help. Even if he gets the $45 million, guys, there's ways to maneuver the cap around. If they don't have to give him the franchise tag, make it light early so they can still sign free agents. If they sign him to the franchise tag, it's crippling for the franchise, but I think it's even more crippling for him.
All right, we keeping an eye on the franchise tag deadline, which is 4 o'clock Eastern time, so we're moving close to that. So there's, 44 minutes about until the deadline. We'll know if Jones is, in fact, franchised and what the deal is with Saquon Barkley as well. That's the NFL update brought to you by Jack Pocket. Powerball is $31 million. Mega Millions is $188 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jack Pocket. Download the Jack Pocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Liam in Smithtown. Liam.
How's it going, fellas? I just got two quick questions about Aaron Rodgers. If this meeting goes well and the Jets do get him, can we realistically keep our first-round pick, or is that gone? And also, if Aaron Rodgers comes here for a year, do you think that Zach Wilson could be better or at least serviceable or a good quarterback after a year sitting under him? And that's it.
I would think that that's the hope, Liam. This is one of his idols growing up, and he has had a lot of conversations with him. And I think that Rodgers will be more helpful toward Wilson than he was toward Love, because he didn't want Love on the team. Well, now he's inheriting Zach Wilson, the guy who looks up to him. So I think the Jets' hope is if they get Rodgers for 2 years, they pick up the fifth-year option maybe on Zach Wilson or get him for a lot cheaper and hope that some of that rubbed off. I don't know if they'll have to give it the first-round draft pick this year. I'm not sure if that's part of it. I mean, I'm sure the Jets are going to try to avoid it.
Well, here's how they can probably avoid it, Michael. Focus on 2024. Say, you know, we're going to give you a second-round pick in this year. And if he comes back a second year, we'll give you a first-round pick in 2024. Something like that. Like trying to see if you can at least have some security that he might be able to come back for a second year. Something to the effect of, if I only get him for a rental, why am I giving up so much? So I don't know how you can make that work, Michael, but you got to try to at least start negotiations by avoiding giving up the first round picks. And if the Raiders don't get involved, then really who are you negotiating against? If the Packers are done with them on the move on to Love, what leverage do they have?
Well, but here's the leverage. They can create leverage, okay? If they don't want him on the team anymore and they want to turn it over to Love, then it doesn't, and Peter said this before too, with Love, they are not a Super Bowl contender. Then open up the market and let the NFC teams bid. All of a sudden, you could have the Atlanta Falcons step up. You could have a lot of teams step up.
Yeah,
you might even have the 49ers step up, and increase your marketplace.
I don't even know why, Peter, that's not the case now.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it. I think it should be too. But I mean, particularly if the choice becomes eat $50 million, be completely screwed over, not go the direction you want to go as a team, or open it up to the NFC. How do you not?
Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I guess Daniel Jones is in full-blown love with Gettleman also, because they're both going to screw the Giants with the salary cap three times that franchise. Let me get to Rodgers. I don't agree with the signing if they do get him, because you look at his last couple of years. He was banged up all, not just the thumb, but it was injuries throughout the year last year. The last two big games he's played against Detroit, which was like a regular season, a playoff game, the last game of regular season and at home, and San Francisco the year before that in a divisional playoffs, first playoff game at home. He was horrible. But, I mean, I don't – are you going to sacrifice your future the next couple of years? I think they're better, believe it or not, going after Jimmy G, give him a short-term, like couple-of-year deal, guarantee most of the money instead of, you know, if there's no other offer for Jimmy G, or go – in the draft and go after another quarterback.
Yeah, well, the last one, Danny, doesn't work. If you go for another quarterback in the draft, then Robert Saleh's gone.
Well,
he is gone because you got a situation where they're going to be rebuilding. There's no quarterback that's going to step in and be great. There's four good quarterbacks coming into the draft. I don't think anyone is so monumentally unbelievable that they would lead the Jets to the playoffs next year. I just, that's out. They're not sacrificing their future. They're actually doubling down on the next 2 years, hoping that this guy could bring them somewhere. And you're saying he's horrible. Yeah, he has not been great whatsoever in the postseason. Got an under 500 record, but he has won a Super Bowl. And he's better than what the Jets have had. He's right away, he's the best quarterback the Jets would ever have, ever in their history.
And they believe that they're a win now team, and they're just missing a quarterback. And you get this quarterback. The only negative is you only have him for a brief period of time, but you got to strike while the iron's hot, guys.
And, you know, he's a drama king. That's another negative, but they're flying out to talk to him right now, and we'll see exactly how dramatic he wants to be.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The big story today is the Jets flying out to meet with Aaron Rodgers. Let's talk to Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for us at ESPN. Nice to join us. I know he's super busy today. Rob, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. So let me just give you my initial thought. They're not flying out there unless they think there's a real chance to do it. And obviously, they've had some kind of gentleman's agreement on what it would take from the Packers. Is that accurate, my first take?
I agree on both of those accounts, yes.
All right, so where does it go from here? I mean, what are they trying to talk to Rodgers about? A time commitment?
Yeah, I think a lot of things. I think they still might be trying to just convince him, just push him, you know, over the edge, so to speak. Like, you know, maybe Rodgers is still, I really like what I see from them, but do I really want to change teams? And, you know, maybe this is a final recruitment push as well. Maybe the Jets still have questions about, you know, what he's going to bring. I mean, maybe they want to know he's going to play more than one season. I'm not so sure, knowing him, that he's ready to give anyone that commitment. He certainly has never been willing to give the Packers that over the last couple of years. But there's still some things that the Jets might need to find out. Although, from what I was told and what I can tell about the Jets, is they're all in and they want him, and that's that.
Do you think now the seal's broken, will there be other teams that could maybe express interest, other places that Rodgers might want to play besides the Jets and Packers?
You know, I don't think so. I think the Raiders were one, obviously, that you know people connected to. But I was told last week at the combine that they were not interested. I think that may have been reported as well somewhere. Although there's so much out there that I can't remember who reported what first. But from what I was told, the Raiders were not, and I don't even know if they were ever really even in.
Wow.
You know, I have heard Carolina. But I'm not so sure Rodgers would look at that as a situation where he could go, you know, and win right away. Certainly not with that roster. You know, and then I don't know about teams like Indianapolis. And going back to Carolina real quick, I'm not so sure the Packers would even be willing to trade him to an NFC team.
Now, how true is the idea that we've been hearing more and more out of Green Bay that the Packers are, in fact, truly internally ready to move on to Jordan Love?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a great feel for that, and here's why. Every time I talk to someone in the organization, I come away thinking one thing, and then I talk to someone else, and I come away thinking the other. I'll even go back to the first person I talked to, and I'll change how I feel about what they said the last time. So, like, it's so hard to tell. I don't know if we'll ever really find out. You know, assuming this is a trade and he does play for the Jets, I don't know if we'll truly ever find out whether this was Rodgers wanting out or the Packers wanting rid of him or perhaps both. I mean, there's very few. I'm not so sure I ever believe in the, it was a divorce on both sides and an equal responsibility. I don't know about that. But, you know, at this point, I'm not willing to say. I know there's been a lot of reports out there that say that they're disgusted with him and all that. And I got to be honest with you, I've covered this team for 25 years, and I don't know that I have I don't have anybody that has told me that. So, you know, while it may be true, that is not anything that I have ever been able to confirm.
Our ESPN Packers reporter Rob Domofsky is the guest here on the Michael Kay Show, ESPN New York. Rob, it doesn't seem from what you're saying that the Packers – have that much leverage in terms of other teams to turn to. So what could they command right from the Jets for Rodgers?
Yeah, I asked a bunch of people about that at the combine last week. And even if it's a one-team market, people around the league still seem to think that it's going to take a first-round pick. Now, if you're the Jets, you know, what do? You start with a three, right? And be like, right. Oh, well, you know, he doesn't want to be there. And you know, where else are you going to send him? You know, and maybe it goes up from there. If I remember right, and I was covering this at the time, but boy, it's been a long time ago. I think the trade for Favre was a third-round pick that ended up having some contingencies on it that ended up becoming a second-round pick in 2009. Incidentally, the Packers used that second-round pick to trade back up into the first round to get Clay Matthews. But, you know, and at that time, was Favre any different, you know, in his career? Other than you just didn't know how much longer he was going to play because he had retired once. But as far as where they were at in their career, I'm not so sure there was a huge difference in terms of, you know, what they had left, what they had done recently. You know, Favre's last year in Green Bay, they went 13-3 and lost to the Giants in the NFC Championship game
right. On
an interception. There were also two teams involved in that, too. I don't know if you remember this, but the Buccaneers and the Jets were both involved. John Gruden was the coach of the Buccaneers. He told me he thought he was getting Rodgers. I was told that the Packers went to Rodgers and said, "Hey, we have basically similar compensation with the Jets and the Bucs. Where do you want to go?" He said the Bucs, so they sent him to the Jets.
No, you for Favre, you're saying
Favre, you mean? Yeah,
yep, Favre. Sorry.
Now, I guess the difference.
They're all the same, right? They seem to, I can't keep one.
Sure, feels similar.
Rob, the difference between Favre and Rodgers, in my memory, and I was covering the Jets at the time, is that there was really no thought that Favre was going to stay. He wanted to go to Minnesota. The Jets were going to be a wait station for him to be eventually to go to Minnesota. Yeah. And the next year, he went to the championship game with them. So, is it fair to say the difference would be that there probably is at least an avenue that Rodgers can give them a second year, more so than Favre could have a decade ago.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Nathaniel Hackett's the reason. Robert Saleh, who is great friends with Packers coach Matt LaFleur, and by connection, Rodgers has sort of gotten to know him a little bit. There are certainly reasons to think that it could be more than 1 year. It's interesting that you say that about the Vikings, because if you remember before when Favre started making noise about wanting to come back, the Packers actually filed a tampering charge against the Vikings. So even back then, there was the thought that he was going to go to Minnesota. And you know, this is unrelated, but if you look back on it, the Packers probably just should have sent Favre to Minnesota and taken more than they would have gotten from the Jets.
See, that's what we've been talking about here, because it's been reported for a while, Rob, that the Packers don't want to trade him in the NFC. In all likelihood, if they turn it over to Jordan Love, they're not a Super Bowl contending team.
Right.
So wouldn't it behoove them to open up the market and trade him to an NFC team and get a bigger return than insisting on trading him to an AFC team?
Yeah, if I were them, I would, for 100% certainty, because even when they turn it over to Love, let's say Love ends up being really good, it's going to take some time.
Right.
Rodgers was really, really good in 2008. Threw for, I believe, a little over 4,000 yards and high 20, maybe even close to 30 touchdowns. And they went 6-10. That's just the way it is. That's just life in a transition, even if the guy you're transitioning to is really, really good. So if I were sitting in that general manager's seat, if I were Brian Gutekunst, I would trade him to anybody I'd even trade him within the division if it meant, getting the best compensation. But that's just me.
Now, I don't know how well you know the Jets roster, but I'm sure you're familiar with how young and talented they are. So, and you obviously are ultimately familiar with what Aaron Rodgers is entering the 2023 season. Can the Jets compete for a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers right now?
Sure. Looks like it to me. Now, again, my view of the Jets is fairly limited. I know they came in here and beat these guys in week 6 or 7, I believe it was. So I watched that game. The young receiver is fantastic. And not saying he's Devontae Adams, but he's a guy that could form a connection with Rodgers like Devontae Adams had. The pieces seem to be in place on defense. I guess I'm not ultimately familiar that much with the offensive line, but Rodgers is used to playing with a lot of different changing guys, whether it's injury or just moving guys around on the offensive line. And the best part of it is, if you're him and you're changing teams, that's probably the easiest place to go to because of Hackett. And let's face it, Hackett might be more likely to run the offense Rodgers runs than he is whatever his own vision of his offense is, right? Because there's two different things. I mean, when Matt LaFleur came here, there's Matt LaFleur's offense on paper, and then there was the way Rodgers ran it and what he wanted to run. So I remember talking last year, I talked to a bunch of quarterbacks that changed teams late in their career, asked them what it was like. And I remember Rich Gannon telling me when he changed teams, he didn't realize how much work it was going to be to learn a new offense. And Rodgers, I don't know at this point, wants to put in that much work. But he might not have to with the Jets because of all those things.
All right, so Rob, before we let you go, we're all curious about this. You've been covering the Packers forever. You know Aaron Rodgers since he became a Packer. He comes off as a little bit of a self-important ass. So that being the case,
well said.
Does that play in New York? I mean, with the three tabloids, two 24-hour radio stations, how would it play?
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, he's going to be who he is, and he doesn't care. Like that's the difference. Is if he's on the back page of the Post and the Daily News and those types of things, and there's funny headlines and outlandish stuff, I don't think he cares. I really don't. He thinks, in a lot of cases, he thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and in a lot of cases he might be, and that's all he really cares about. He is sensitive to a point. I mean, there's been a couple times where he and I have gotten in the arguments in the locker room about something I wrote. That was earlier in his career. I'm not so sure he feels the same way now. I think the biggest difference is, what is it, page 6? Like if he's out to dinner with somebody in the village, he's going to be on page 6. Whereas in Green Bay, he was not on you know, there was no, there's no page six in the Green Bay Press Gazette.
And there's only five pages, period.
Well, that's not
hey,
nice.
Hey, I used to work for that newspaper.
Wow. Well, Rob, thank you. I know you're busy today. We appreciate you coming on and giving us some info.
We'll appreciate be seeing
it. All right. Rob Domofsky, 25 years as the Packer reporter, so it looked like it might get done. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get people excited, but all signs seem to be pointing that it will get done. And I think the Jets guys have a little bit of leverage because what are the Packers going to do?
Yeah, because if he's saying that the Raiders are not in and the Packers are steadfast not trading him within the conference, then the only leverage they would have is, all right, we're gonna play 2023 with him. But that goes contrary to reports that say they want to move on with Love because they eventually have to give him the fifth-year option. They want to see what they got in him. So I am not – right now, with the information that we have, Michael, if I'm Joe Douglas, I'm not even offering a second-round pick. And then we'll go from there. I might go to a second-round pick, but my first offer is going to be a third and some other stuff and just see what they do and see if they blink. Why would I offer a first-round pick out of the box when it looks like I'm holding all the cards?
But then you wonder, are you really holding the cards? The Packers have never come out and said, we don't want Rodgers back. Maybe Rodgers just doesn't want to go to play for Green Bay anymore. And the Packers could say, okay, then retire. And then they'd be out from under the salary. They wouldn't be out from under the cap hit, which is the same thing they've got to deal with even if they trade him. But I don't know. We don't know all of the truth yet. I mean, we just don't know the truth. So that's what makes us fascinating. And, you know, Mike Tannenbaum laid it out a couple of weeks ago for us. Make a contingency deal. We'll give you a third round. If we go, you know, the AFC Championship game, it becomes a first rounder. If he plays 2 years, then it becomes a first rounder. Something like that. So I'm fascinated by this. I mean, in the next couple of days, Aaron Rodgers could end up being a New York Jet.
What a. You know, listen, it's great for Jets fans. It really is. It's great for the organization. Great for people who love football. I'll tell you, it's better for no one more than us.
Oh, especially if we got a weekly.
I mean, during the dog days when sports are really rough, Don, we won't say the beginning of what season it can feel that way because I don't want to offend some parties present.
Right.
But are you kidding me?
I love baseball.
All through the late spring and summer to be following Rodgers' developments here. Oh, be amazing.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to the phones. A lot of people anxious to talk. Let's give Ira a chance to opine. Ira, what's going on?
Hey, Michael. Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
So, you know, it's interesting. So they're on their way out to California. So this kind of reminds me of the Seinfeld adventure when Costanza took his fiance's parents to this fake house out in the Hamptons and got out there, let's get nuts, and then there was no house. So the Jets have to come back with Rodgers on this plane, and you got to hope for the best. You got to hope that they hopefully made the right decision. But at the end of the day here, Tannenbaum was on the earlier show with Rick and Dave, and he threw out something, I believe, where a lot of this money is guaranteed in year two. So that's my biggest issue with this whole thing. I don't want 17 games and maybe a wild card game, and then the guy disappears. So somehow they got to convince him. There's no guarantees in life. But you got to give the Jets 2 years. So I expect them to be a Jet. I wish the Jets luck. I still wouldn't have gone this route, but hopefully this thing works
out.
Well,
you want a lot of money in year two to entice them to come back.
Well,
right?
But he has to agree to that. You got to remember that. What's it like, 58 this year and maybe 50 the next year? He's going to rework his deal. And the one thing I did read, no matter how he reworks this deal, this could end up in 2025, and you can't worry 2 years down the road from now. But whether he retires or not, this could cost them $51 million towards the cap. So they better hope that this goes right, and they better win something with this guy, because 2 years from now, if they got to take a $51 million cap hit and he's not on the roster, that's going to be a major problem to this organization.
Well, you know, it's funny. Ira has been – he's been – befuddled by the quarterback situation since the beginning of the year, starting with Joe Flacco, then Mike White and Zach Wilson, and he doesn't seem like he wants Aaron Rodgers. So my question would be, well, if not Rodgers, then who?
Well, because what you're doing is that you're taking a leap of faith, right? Now, do you want to take the leap from the first floor or the 50th floor? Now, the first floor, you'll survive it, but you really don't have any chance of winning or winning anything big. But yeah, from the 50th floor, you're gonna be dancing. You're going to be having a chance to win a championship, but the fall is going to be catastrophic. And I think that's sometimes what scares Jet fans off, is that, boy, you're putting all your eggs in a basket, right? You're going to have to go in there, and some people, and rightly so, are going to say, we either win a Super Bowl, this is going to look bad. And that's a scary proposition. That wouldn't have been the case with Derek Carr. Eventually, after a few years, maybe you want to get to a Super Bowl. But you might have 1 or 2 years to get the ring. Otherwise, people look back and say, was it worth it?
Don't you guys think, though, that Ira's amazing in that he can talk like so calmly and matter-of-factly about Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Jets quarterback?
What in the world am I doing?
I just can't identify with Ira in any way.
What do you mean?
He's just like, considering his entire life is wrapped up in this losing organization.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to preseason games, travels around the country like a madman.
Sure does.
I just, if you guys were talking to me right now about the fact that my commies were about to get Aaron Rodgers, I just don't think I'd have the air of confidence and calm that he has. I don't know. He seems like it's nothing. You're about to get maybe the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game.
Because there's a pitfall. See, every time there's a great draft pick, there's a great rookie season, there's a great coach that becomes available, every time it looks like the Jets are going to figure it out, there is a man holding a dog by a leash. And that dog is going for your throat. And at any second, that dog's going to go at you. That's how they look at everything. It's like, yeah, I'm excited about Rodgers, but it could blow up in my face and the dog can just rip my guts out. Like, I think a lot of Jet fans are just, they don't want to believe it. And even if they get it, are they going to feel positive about it like they should? Or are they going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop? Or how are we going to screw this one up? And Ira kind of sounded like a guy that didn't want to go for it because he doesn't think it's going to work. But whatever has worked.
6 minutes to the franchise tag. So the Giants are going to franchise somebody. It's either going to be Jones or Barkley. So 6 minutes will be the deadline. I don't know if we'll know immediately. They'll have to file paperwork and things like that. We know that the Ravens have filed a franchise tag on Lamar Jackson. And one thing that we should make known about the franchise tag, if you give the non-exclusive franchise tag, somebody could make a contract offer to that player like Lamar Jackson, and then they would have to give 2 first-round draft picks to the Ravens. Or the Ravens could match the offer. Doesn't mean you automatically lose him if a team comes forward and makes the offer. Then you'll look at the deal and say, we'll match it, and then you could trade him for something even more. Because Lamar Jackson might be worth more than 2 first-round draft picks. So there's a lot of layers to this. Doesn't automatically mean that you keep him. It means that somebody now has an opportunity to knock him out of the water and have a poison pill sort of contract that you can't match, or you're going to match it nonetheless, and you'll swallow the poison pill and either keep the player yourself or, in fact, trade the player somewhere else. So just because you franchise somebody doesn't mean that you definitely we have a I don't know if this is breaking news or not. Jordan Schultz on Twitter: Daniel Jones and the Giants are finalizing a 4-year contract extension. Sources tell the Score. We'll see.
Keep going. And?
No. That's all we got right now.
I could have told you that.
Ryan Dunleavy of the Post has that same information.
So he's not going to take the tag. He is going to figure something out.
Well, I guess he came to his senses. Or not that he ever lost his senses. He was just negotiating. That's why it's hard to criticize the guy. He has an agency. They're negotiating. We haven't heard a peep from him. And he tried to get the most money he could get. Now, the guy was probably mad at him is Saquon Barkley. Because if he does sign this deal, well, then Saquon Barkley gets $10.1 million next year. And if somebody blows him out of the water and offers him $17 million a year, you know what? The Giants will take the 2 first-round draft picks for running back.
But you know what? Call me a sap.
Sap.
I sort of believe that Saquon is so good a guy that he'll probably be so happy that Jones figured out a way to stay that he won't even care.
Oh, he'll care.
No, he's going to.
He does not want to be franchised. He said that during the
season.
Well,
no, but that's not going to lead to anger towards Jones.
No. It'll be anger toward the Giants.
I mean,
I agree.
A sense of frustration, sure, but my guess is he'll still be happy that Jones is sticking around.
Well, if he stays with the Giants, he'll be happy.
Well, yeah, he certainly doesn't care if he leaves the Giants.
Well, but there's still hope that they can negotiate something even after the tag, where he doesn't have to settle for the, what is it, 10.1, Michael?
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.